There are some stories in the New Testament that we only find recorded in one place. For instance, it's only in the Gospel of Luke that we learn about the story of the prodigal son. It's only in the Gospel of John that we have the story of the woman that was caught in adultery. But there's other stories which we find a number of times in the New Testament. One of those is the story of the first Eucharist. We find it recorded in Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, and Luke's Gospel. Now, John, he doesn't tell us about how Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood." But he does something different. He gives us a rather long discourse of Jesus, where Jesus is saying, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you." If we go to the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, we have something rather rare in the Scripture, and that is where something out of the Gospel is given to us again in the letter of Paul. He tells us the story of the first Eucharist and how Jesus took the bread and blessed it and took the cup and blessed it and passed it to the disciples. Now, the other thing we have in the Scriptures a number of times is the story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. Now, one of the interesting things about that story, and it appears, I don't know, probably 3-4 times, maybe 5, is the words that Jesus used are very much like the words he used at the first Eucharist. It says, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and shared it. Many scripture scholars feel that that story of the multiplication of the loaves was told so often because it was a way of beginning to prepare people for the deeper mystery. If this Jesus could multiply the bread, could he not then transform the bread and the wine into his body and blood? But one thing it really does point out to us is that when a story is repeated so many times in so many ways, we know that that story had a great importance to those very, very early Christians. It was so important that they told it over and over and over again. Now I would like to go to the first reading. In some ways, that first reading sounds kind of strange. You know, Moses makes an altar, and then he has some young bulls killed, sacrificed. And he takes the blood, half of it he puts in a bowl. The other half in another bowl. And he takes that blood, first of all, and he pours it on the altar, one half of it. Now the altar is a symbol of God. And then he reads the words of the covenant to them, and then he sprinkles the blood over the people. Now I can just imagine if it was us, we'd be getting cold water and trying to get the blood out of our garments. But they didn't seem to worry about that. What was going on there? Well, they knew that blood was essential for life. And so they saw blood as sort of the life principle. And that sharing of blood between the altar, which represented God, and the people, was saying that they somehow shared the same life, the life of God, and that the people were going to be faithful to this relationship with God. It was a symbolic or ritual way trying to express that desire that they had to enter into communion with God. Now, other times there was a different kind of sacrifice. And this kind of sacrifice was when they took an animal, they killed it, and they brought it to the altar and burnt part of it. But then they would take the other part of the animal that they didn't burn, but it had been offered to God too, and they would give it to the people offering the sacrifice. And they would take it home and eat it. And they had that belief that when they ate of an animal that had been offered to God, they somehow entered into communion with God. And that they were again sharing in God's life. Now, all of that helps us understand what Jesus did at the Last Supper. He was just getting ready to pour out his blood on the altar of the cross. But he takes the cup and he says, "This is my blood," symbolizing that they were now sharing in his life. That very blood that he was to pour out on the cross, he was pouring out over them. But not only over them, but over all of us. Because he gave us a way to have his blood present throughout the centuries, throughout the generations. That we share that blood, the blood of the sacrifice. And by sharing that blood of the sacrifice, we share in the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing happens with the bread. He takes the bread and he offers it to them and he says, "This is my body." The body that will be offered on the cross the next day. But the body that is offered to you and I now as food for eternal life. It is offered to us so that we can enter into communion, into union with this God of ours. That we can share the very life of this God of ours within our own lives. That's the purpose of Eucharist. To bring us into communion, into union with this God of ours. To let his life begin to grow and form within us. Now, in a minute here, we're going to wash up a little. I can't say it again. Onyekachi. We're going to wash him up. We're going to scrub him up a little bit. But that's a symbolic gesture also, that we are bringing him into the life of Christ so that he can have Christ in him. But that's going to have to be deepened. And as he gets older then, we will give him the Eucharist so that the life of Christ can continue to grow and strengthen and blossom within him. But that's what happens to all of us. That Eucharist has to be our way of growing in this relationship with Christ Jesus, deepening that communion with Christ. Now, none of this is magical. A lot depends, or I should say, everything depends on how we receive it. You know, obviously we need to receive the body and blood of Christ with reverence, external reverence. But even more is the internal. How open am I to the life of Christ? How much do I want to be changed, to be made anew, to be made in his image? Am I willing to let go of my selfishness and my pride? Am I willing to think of something just beyond what I want or what I need? Am I willing to sacrifice myself for the sake of others? Christ can give me the power to do that. But I need to be open to it. I need to want it. I need to be ready to die to myself in a sense so that the life of Christ can take more deep root within me and it can become for me a transforming power. That is the purpose of the Eucharist. To give us a share in the life of Christ Jesus. To make us more and more one with him. So that his life and his love flows within us. And if his life and his love is truly flowing within us, it must transform us. Because if I'm truly receiving His life and open to His life, I can't continue living the same way. Slowly, it needs to transform me and make me into His image. This is the gift of the Eucharist. May it be for each one of us a transforming power. May it be for each one of us the gift of everlasting life.